welcome to Tabletop Tommies. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil.
And in today's episode, we're talking through the latest release from Warlord Games, Achtung Panzer. We have been fortunate enough to get a sneak peek at the rulebook. I haven't really read it, but Phil has studied it in great depth, and so hopefully he'll be able to give me insights into what it's all about. So without further ado, I guess the first question, Phil, quite a broad one, is what is Achtung Panzer?
So Achtung Panzer, it's a 28mm tank game. So it's for 2 to 5 vehicles, and it represents 2 opposing tank platoons. It's written by a couple of guys who have been involved in previous Warlord Games publications. So Mike Bradford and Roger Gerrish, they co-wrote Western Desert for Bolt Action. Roger wrote to Berlin, and he's also been involved in games like Doctor Who and Judge Dredd. So there's a link there to previous Warlord Games with the two authors. There's no infantry involved at all in terms of models on the table. So this is not an expansion for Bolt Action. This is not, you know, an update or a reboot for Tank War. It's an entirely new game with a new mechanic, but you can obviously use your tanks that you would normally use for Bolt Action in Achtung Panzer. And it's due to be released in April. So it's in the next 3 weeks by the time this comes out.
Interesting. So it's not Tank Wars. It's not Bolt Action. Does it have the same variety of nations available at the moment?
So currently the core rulebook covers 4. So you've got Germany, British and Commonwealth, Soviet Union and USA. And it's from 1943 onwards. So there's Germany and Soviet Union for 1943. And then from 1944 onwards, you introduce British and Commonwealth and USA.
Nice. I think listening to Cast Dice, I believe Brad said there are plans to add more nations.
I believe there is, yeah. As I said, it's very much mid to late war at the moment, but there are indeed plans. They just released the French tank crew set as part of this, but they haven't got rules for the French tanks currently, which would indicate they are about to release some French tank rules for Achtung Panzer at some point.
Interesting. When you say the tank crew, do you mean the cards for them? Because I know this game involves cards. Or are we talking the actual minis?
No, the actual minis. So as part of the release, they either remodeled or re-released or from scratch designed and released tank crews for the 4 nations we mentioned. But there's also a French tank crew that I spotted on the Warlord website the other day. So yeah, it would suggest that there are other nations on its way, yeah.
Are these the tank crew that stick in your tank? Are these on 20?
These are dismounted, so the dismounted tank crew. So if for those of you who've looked at the Bolt Action website, they had the German dismounted tank crews, the winter German tank crews I've seen before and so on. So it's 4 or 5 guys, because they do have a role to play, probably just aesthetically, to be honest, but there is a big emphasis on tank crews in the game. And as part of the release that they recently shared, it included various tank crews. So the short answer is, currently there are 4 nations, but it would suggest, and Brad on Cast Dice podcast and the official Warlord podcast did say that there are others on their way.
The tank crew, I believe in this game, so what I've seen from the previews is you purchase the tank crew in the way you would sort of purchase units in Bolt Action, let's say. So you pay points for your tank, you pay points for your crew, depend on their veterancy level.
Yeah.
And so is this game, what I'm imagining now with you say the tank crew is when the tank blows up, you roll to see how many get out and then you try to get them off the table to survive to the next battle. But then if you're playing that would imply to me it's a campaign game. So is this game more focused on campaign play or is it more focused on sort of like single engagements?
Yeah, so it's either or. So if you the rule book itself, the actual rules are approximately 60 pages. So it's not a massive rule book by any means at all. And then the back sort of 20 or so pages after that is about the missions themselves and the campaign. So you can absolutely play it as a standalone game, or you can play it as part of a campaign. In terms of you know how it works, it's very much focused on the tank commander and their crew, and it's the way the game's designed is that pre-game you can sort of pimp my ride and increase your your crew's, you know, experience levels, and you use certain crew points to buff, you know, your driver, your commander, or your gunner. And if you're playing the campaign mode, then there's a consequence of how you did in that initial game, you know, game 1 of the campaign, with regards to what crew survive, what experience they get, do they get replaced, vehicles that are knocked out but not destroyed, do they get recovered, can you repair vehicles from game to game, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's very much about the individuals in the vehicle, and there's 2 to 5 of them because it's representing a tank platoon.
Yeah. And it doesn't use order dice, does it? There's some sort of initiative system, I believe.
That's right, yeah. So there's no order dice. So it's, you know, there are very little mechanics that you'd recognize in bolt action other than the fact that it's 28 millimeter. You can measure in inches. You can pre-measure. So that's a major difference. But all your terrain and all your tanks, you can just port across from your bolt action game into Action Panzer. Yeah, in terms of the mechanics of it, it's all based on initiative. And the initiative phase and who goes first in the action phase depends on what number initiative marker you pull out, which could be entirely random. So if depending on the number of vehicles you've got and whether or not you pass a radio check, if you need to, it may be that you've got no idea what order your tanks are going to activate in compared to your opponents. However, if you do pass your radio check, if you need to take one, you can allocate, once you've picked randomly your initiative marker numbers, you can allocate the order that you want your vehicles to activate in.
Interesting.
But it's, yeah, so it's not you go, I go, nor is it entirely random in terms of dice out of the bag. It is random with an element of control, depending upon if you have successfully passed an initiative check, which is your radio check.
So it's sort of semi-random, but with a way to sort of like weight it in your favor.
Yes.
Interesting. Swinging back to your terrain, one of the questions I was thinking there is the ranges in bolt action are sort of arbitrary, for want of a better word. They don't sort of they don't scale with the models to sort of true scale. How does that compare with Action Panzer? And follow on question, is the intention that you play Action Panzer on a 4x6, or are they envisaging that people will play on bigger boards?
So it's played on, suggested to play on a 6x4, and from what you can see in the rule book and also what's been discussed online, the tables are pretty heavy in terms of the amount of terrain that's there. Obviously, if we start getting into supplements where you're looking at 1942 Western Desert, you're not going to have a terrain dense density in the same way that you might be in Normandy, you know, in the Bocage and so on.
That's interesting, because one of the things that actually I think isn't well represented in bolt action in the desert is tanks going sort of hull down, where you scoot behind a dune and you've just got your turret over the top. And so I know the terrain rules are slightly more dense in this. And so I imagine that that'll actually be quite a nice little feature to add, that hull down is a perk compared to in bolt action, where it's just you've got cover, you don't basically.
Yeah, so things like that absolutely matter. So it, depending on where you're hit from, you know, what angle you're hit from, will determine what possible damage you can take. It's not just a straightforward, you're hit, roll on the damage table and apply the damage. It may be that you get hit and your tracks get blown, or your armor gets penetrated, or you get hit in the turret and it affects your optics and that sort of stuff. So there's a lot more detail going on with regards to the damage on the vehicles, which is to be expected. If you've only got 2 to 5 vehicles per side, you're not having to move and roll a ton of dice in the way that we do in bolt action, because you've got fewer models and that sort of stuff. So the intricacy... So what you do get instead then is a level of intricacy with regards to hitting vehicles, damage the vehicles can take. They're not necessarily going to blow up on the first hit. They can take a number of hits, which may or may not cause massive damage. And then after a certain point, if those hits have accumulated, you'll get to a point where it's either going to get knocked out or destroyed.
That does feel more like a sort of our historical accounts of tank warfare, where sort of the Bocage in Normandy, where the Shermans are just pounding the Tigers with high explosives, knowing that they're not going to knock it out, but they might knock the tracks off. And then because they're going to be overrun, they then scuttle the tank and fall back, basically.
Yeah.
So that is quite a nice little perk, rather than sort of like the random in bolt action where you get that 6, 4x6, 4x6, and then, hey...
So for the older listeners out there who may have played a certain major game company's science fiction game with big robots, what we might call Titans, it reminds me, going back to when I played Adaptus Titanicus years and years ago, it reminds me a bit of that in terms of, and same with like Epic 40K and so on, where when you hit those big Titans or Gargants or whatever it was, you had to see where you hit on the model, and then the damage that you could do would vary depending on which part of the model you've hit. And you absolutely have that principle going on here. I'm sure it's the same with, I've never played it, but I'm sure it's very similar to What a Tanker, for example, from the Two Fat Lardies, in terms of the level of detail that you get there in what is a 28 millimeter tank skirmish game.
Yeah.
So just swinging back to ranges. Yeah, so ranges is effectively determined by short and then long. So there's no short, medium, long. It's either you're within short range and that will have a certain value to hit and a certain penetration value. And then if you're at long range, then there'll be maybe the same to hit modifier. Might be different, depends on the weapon you're firing. Mm-hmm. And then again, the penetration value may change. But it, from what I've seen and you know, reading online and so on, it looks like it works with the size of the tables that you're expected to play on. For example, so a 75mm L70 gun here is 0 to 18 is short range, and then 18 plus is long range.
Oh, so yeah. Actually we've got that sort of finer detail in the weapons as well. So rather than just light, medium, heavy.
Yes.
It sounds like every sort of cannon has a slightly different profile.
Yeah, or they'll be grouped together. So you'd have effectively, this is pretty much the, you know, the caliber of this gun, and that gun is the same as you would find on a similar model, you know, from British to Commonwealth, for example, and to US to Soviets. So they might have the same stat line, but they're named something different. It's not just light 80, medium 80, heavy 80. So there is a lot more detail with regards to the layout, the kit out, and also the traits and so on that each vehicle gets. So the traits is something actually to talk about. So much in the same way, you know, as bolt action, where you've got unit special rules, what you've got here then are vehicle traits. And you might have a certain trait that might appear across all four of those nations, for example, or it might be that it's specific to a particular type of vehicle. So if it was a vehicle that the US used for Lend-Lease, well, then the British are going to get it as well as the US and the Soviets and so on. Or it might be specific to just a German vehicle, for example.
Okay, so it sounds like we don't have national characteristics per se, but we have
traits applied to tanks, yeah, and obviously some traits
that are going to be specific to certain nations.
And there's a decent amount of, you know, vehicles for each of them. It's between 20 and 30 vehicles per nation. So it's not like it's like you've got five vehicles which are, you know, a couple of armored cars, a light and medium and heavy. You've got a decent spread at the moment, bearing in mind it's 1943 onwards for Germany and the Soviets, and 1944 onwards for the US and the Brits.
Yeah, and so when you activate your tanks, do they get sort of multiple actions where, let's say, I could fire three times, or I could move three times, or I could, or the thing that I really want to be able to do that I can't do in bolt action is I really want to do the shoot and scoot.
Yes.
Where something like my archer, where it's shooting backwards, I want it parked in a hedgerow, I want it to shoot, and then I want it to just scurry off back towards my lines, basically.
Yeah. So a game then of Acton Panzer consists of a number of turns, and the number of turns depends on the scenario, although you can lengthen or shorten the game by playing event cards, for example. But within each turn, you have three phases. So you have your initiative phase, and then your action phase, and then your admin phase. In your action phase, there are three action phases within the action phase. And every unit on the board, or every vehicle on the board, gets to activate in each of the three action phases. So you draw your initiative, you draw your initiative tokens in the initiative phase, you then play through the first action phase, and in that action phase you can move, you can then do a tactical action. So that could be, for example, shooting. It could be a defensive action, so you might lay down some smoke, for example. You might do your shoot and scoot, like you said. Or it could be a more advanced maneuver. You might start donutting and handbrake turning your vehicle to get out of the way and scoot behind cover, that sort of stuff. So pivot maneuver and a scoot, for example, are two of the tactical actions you can take. So there is a bit of flexibility there. So it's not just I move, I shoot, you move, you shoot. Within the action phase, you can move. You can choose to halt and not move at all. And that's an order. That's a command that you give, which makes your accuracy of your shot greater, obviously. So yeah, there's a lot of potential for combining commands or orders with movement or staying still with tactical actions afterwards. Yeah.
So these tactical actions, are they like a card you play, or is it something that you always have access to?
It's something you always have access to. So there are 10 tactical actions. So you've got two for moving, one for defensive measures, and seven for aggressive measures. And then depending on what that vehicle wants to do in that moment, you'll obviously determine what you need to do. There's an element of sort of thinking ahead, because the obviously not just in terms of which arc you're in relative to the arc of the vehicle you're shooting at, but the turret being in a certain arc, there's certain things, you can track a vehicle if your turret's not not facing the vehicle, but you can see it. So you've got a line of sight to it. You can track it, but you can't shoot it. You can have a bit of a pop shot at it. It's like the next level up. Or if you're stationary, lined at it and focusing on it, you can take an aim shot at it. So there is definitely an element of thinking ahead. Where do I want to be relative to where I know the enemy are? Where are my supporting units or my supporting vehicles in my tank platoon relative to that tank when it's doing its action and so on?
So you do your initiative phase that determines who's going when.
Yeah.
And then in each of the action phases, the three action phases, the orders are all given in the same order every action phase.
Yeah, so,
is that right?
So if we've got five initiative tokens, because there are five vehicles on the board, you're going to activate, say I've got three and you've got two. I'm going to activate three out of possibly first, second, third, fourth, or fifth. You're going to do two. We do that for the first phase, and then you carry on from there into the second, third phase. Yep. So you draw the initiative phase once per turn, but you have three opportunities to undertake actions in the action
phase.
Yeah,
so basically in my first two action phases, I know who's going to get to go first in the next one, basically, which is interesting in terms of sort of thinking forward in that regard. They did talk about as well adding sort of random event cards as well as sort of an extension to the game rather than part of the core mechanics.
Yeah, so the core mechanics itself, like I said, is fairly straightforward. It's the actual core mechanics is probably only about 50 odd pages. Then you start looking at things like the event cards. So these are drawn randomly before the game. How many you get depends on the number of tanks in play at the start of the game, and then you roll a dice and it can plus or minus and so on, and you can play them at different points in a turn depending on what the event is and how that interacts with that point of the turn. So it could be, for example, you're bringing on reinforcements. It could be that you've got a fog of war event, which will obviously impact upon your ability to gain line of sight over a certain distance, for example. Time will tell event, that's the event that allows you to shorten or lengthen the game. So if you're doing really well and you're playing a campaign game and you really want to hammer home your superiority, obviously you want to lengthen it. If you're getting a bit of a pasting and you want to get out alive, you want to shorten it, for example. Things like bullseye will improve your accuracy, for example. Reconnaissance is quite a nice one. So you can play that and it makes your opponent reveal their event cards to you, so you know possibly what might be coming up. And then things like improvised armor, for example. Bad day is quite a good one. So if you can play the bad day event card, and that affects your opponent's crew test result. So to do certain actions in the game, you've got to pass crew tests, depending on your veterancy and experience and other factors will determine how easy it is. So there's an element of a card based game within this. So if anyone's played A Song of Ice and Fire, for example, which is a tabletop skirmish game, sort of rank and flank skirmish game, but it has non-playing characters it has non-combat characters. So there's a tactics card and tactics deck. And one of the features of A Song of Ice and Fire is, as well as the kind of mechanics of fighting that's going on the tabletop, you've also got various cards and character qualities that interact with what's going on the table. And there's absolutely elements of that mechanic. It's not exclusive to, the two games we just mentioned, but there's that mechanic going on within this game.
There's quite a lot to think about then.
Yeah. It's, I say, the actual core rules are, pretty straightforward. Where the sort of randomness and where the intricacy comes in, it's your vehicle stat line plus the event cards, where you can influence things as you go through. The fact that you can customize your crew, so you get a number of crew points at the start of the game to, you might, for example, want to have a really good commander, but a poor gunner and a poor driver. Or you might go, I've got a novice commander, but I've got a really experienced gunner. So I'm not going to do very well in terms of reactions and so on, but my actual bullseye, dead eye shooting might be really good. So the customization, which is where the flavor is going to come from, is from things like your crews and your event cards. You have asset cards as well, and the asset cards are nation specific. So you draw a number at the start of the game depending upon the size of the game, and you can do certain things. So the Brits, for example, might call in an artillery or an airstrike, or they might bring up the Piats if they want to ambush a vehicle. The Germans might launch a close assault with Panzerknackers, or they might have tank hunters with Panzerfausts, that sort of thing.
So the Piats and etc. Are sort of abstracted where they'll do damage to the tank and it's come from this bush, let's say, but you don't actually put your infantry models down to...
100%. So one of the key parts of the terrain is what they call ambush terrain. So you've got your normal sort of terrain in terms of open ground, rough ground, impassable, and then ambush terrain. And then ambush terrain represents any space on the battlefield where either infantry or anti-tank assets or even a tank could well be concealed in order to spring an ambush. So it could be buildings, could be ruins, rubble, rocky ground, pre-prepared strong points, whatever it is. And I was saying earlier about some of the tactical actions you can take in your action phase. One of them is clearing potential ambush terrain, because if you get too close to ambush terrain, there's a chance that your opponent might play a card and then suddenly you're staring down a pack 40 which has been, you know, hidden away, concealed in the woods. You've got too close and you've just been hit by some AT assets. So the infantry, the anti-tank assets, etc., they're abstracted. They appear, in inverted commas, through the ambush terrain on the table, and how they interact with the game is through the event cards and asset cards and that sort of stuff. So
yeah, it really is quite an intricate game, really.
Yeah.
Which does make me sort of wonder who the target audience is here, because it has the feel of sort of a beer and pretzel type game.
Yeah.
But it also feels like there's a very high threshold of entry, because there's a lot of stuff going on here. And so it leaves me kind of wondering, who have they aimed this at? Because like the guys who are sort of really learning the rules and stuff from Warlord are playing sort of like your pike and shot or your bolt action already. So we already have like quite a complex World War II game. I suppose, are we aiming at it sort of like people who really like tanks, really want more detail? So it's not beer and pretzel, really. It's people who really want to simulate historical tank engagements.
Yeah, but I think it is beer and pretzel as well, because the core mechanics are pretty straightforward. It's a card driven miniature game. That's the best way of saying it. And and a lot of the cards are very straightforward, and the content on the card tells you what you need to know in two or three sentences. It's really not very detailed, because it's, I play this at this time, this is the effect, and now I apply that effect. And yeah, I mentioned A Song of Ice and Fire. When I used to play that was the core rules in that are like 20 pages long. Where the variety came from was the card driven mechanic of it. So I think it's quite, it's quite detailed in the sense of the stat lines for all the vehicles. But effectively what you're saying is, how experienced are my crew? How experienced do I want to make my driver, my gunner, and my commander? How, where do I add the sort of like the gotcha moments? Well, that's through the event cards, for example. How do I buff my nation? Well, that's the asset cards that are nation specific. So for me, I can see this being a game that you would play down the club, or you play with your mate, you know, one evening or an afternoon, or you might get a group of you together and play it as a campaign quite easily. It's not massively detailed and in depth like your chain of command or battle group, for example, nor is it rules heavy in the way that bolt action is. It's simple mechanics with the variety and quick play that comes from a card-driven game.
Yeah, and actually I think the key point there that I hadn't really fully sort of thought about is there's a lot of stuff going on, but actually, as you say, if those, a lot of that random stuff's coming from cards and it's explicitly stated on the card exactly what's about to happen, then actually there's not a lot you have to commit to memory. So actually that does add a lot of complexity to the game, but equally doesn't add a lot of complexity to sort of your memory of the rule set, really.
Definitely, yeah. You know, I found preparing for it, so we were, you know, lucky to be sent a, so we were, you know, very grateful to be sent a copy of the rules by Warlord. I haven't played the game, but reading through the rules, reading through the event cards and then working out, it really didn't take me very long to read through it. And once I understood that this is a card driven miniature game, that's I'm gonna call it that from now on, the actual core mechanics were pretty straightforward.
Interesting. So I guess the key question is, are you going to be playing Achtung Panzer?
I think I would definitely play it. If somebody was interested at the club, or if a friend had it and said, you know what, let's go and play it, I think I definitely would play it. It's a great opportunity to bring off the shelf all those vehicles that you very rarely get to use in bolt action, unless you're playing Tank War, for example. I think it could be a fun, 2.5 hours you know, of an evening type game, or a, you know, an afternoon at the weekend sort of thing. I don't think it's not I can't see it being a tournament game. I can't see it being, you know, a competitive tournament game at all. But it isn't written for that purpose. So
from my perspective, it's not one that I'm going to seek out a game of, I think. But mm-hmm. if someone's really keen to play it, I certainly would try it, and I think it would be fun. But for me, I really like the infantry in Bold Action, and I like maneuvering your bazooka up, trying to sneak him up to the tank to get that shot against all odds. And so that's why, for me, even sort of regardless of the game's mechanics and stuff, I think I'd miss the infantry too much if this was the game I was playing on the regular. But it's certainly one that if someone else learned all the rules and was willing to show me how to play it, I'd be more than happy to play. All right. Well, that certainly was an interesting diversion from our regular Bolt Action content. I imagine next week we'll be right back on the Bolt Action. But until then,
please like, share, and subscribe. And let us know if you're looking forward to Acton Panzer and what you're looking forward to about it.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.